Isn't it great? Great to see you guys. Excited about what God's going to do in this new year. And you know, I was thinking about what hope we have. I want to encourage you guys. Look, I know the world looks crazy right now. We're going to talk about some of that today. But we have such hope as believers. You know, it hit me this morning. Those who don't know Christ, what do they have to look forward to going into 2024? I'm thinking there's not a lot to look forward to. The world seems to be falling apart and everything is so uncertain. But with our God, everything is certain, everything is determined, everything is on his calendar, and you're a part of all of it for an eternal future with him. Is that great or what? Man. I mean, that's enough to say, okay, God bless you guys, we're heading home. I mean, that's good enough right there, but we have so much more. Now, we're at the end of this year, and what we do at the end of every year, if you're new here, you don't know this at Calvary Chapel, for the last weekend of the year, we have a prophecy update. And so we'll get into Acts next week, into our regular study in Acts. And so if you're visiting, we'll be back in Acts next week. But if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Romans chapter 1 as we do a 2023 end of the year prophecy update. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for today. And I thank you, God, for giving us the gift of prophecy, Lord, because you said without vision, the people perish. So you give us vision from heaven through prophecy. And God, you let us know what's going to happen and you explained it in advance so we're not afraid. And we can see that you're in control and we're right on schedule. And so I pray, God, you bless our time as you open up your word to us. And I just want to thank you again for the hope that we have as believers, Lord, going into 2024, Lord, as the days seem so dark around us, we have such hope because we know what the end is. And I pray, God, that you would encourage those here this morning who know you as we look prophetically at what we believe is going to happen in 2024. But God, I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you that they wouldn't leave this place until they have that hope as well. So God, work by your Holy Spirit. And we ask you, God, just to be our teacher and our instructor as we sit at your feet this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, again, the reason we do a prophecy update at the end of each year is what I like to call a factory reset. You know, we have to restart our computers every so often, our phones every so often, because things aren't functioning properly. We need that factory reset. We need a reboot to say, all right, let's get refocused now. We're heading into 2024. We're that much closer to the Lord's return. We don't know when it's going to be, but we're that much closer. We know the closer we get to the Lord, the crazier it's going to get, which means we need more and more understanding, more and more encouragement, more and more hope, more and more light. And the Bible says that God said in the last days, he will reveal more prophecy in the last days. Not new prophecy, but he says that knowledge will increase in Daniel chapter 12. And the first and primary meaning of knowledge increasing there is talking about the knowledge prophetically. Now, there's also, I think, an application to digital intellectual knowledge, technological knowledge, etc., which we'll get into today. But this is more of the spiritual knowledge and the prophetic knowledge that we're going to get into today. And I believe we need it more than ever, that refocus, because heading into 2024, I predict this is going to be a crazy year. And it doesn't take a prophet to predict that. There's a lot of things going on worldwide. As a matter of fact, one major thing here in our nation that is going to affect the entire world are the 2024 elections. Now, this is not going to be a political thing, but note this. I believe there's going to be a crazy year in 2024, but it's not going to be politics as you might think it would be. It's going to be spiritual things happening. Now, no doubt it'll play out in politics some degree. But remember, as believers, and again, looking prophetically at the way God works, you know, we have to go up above the earth, up above all politics and all culture and all these things, and see things from God's viewpoint and realize this is going to be a spiritual battle more than ever from this point on, because the Bible says, as Satan knows we're getting closer to the day where he's going to be judged, he's going to try harder and harder to bring his plan to pass and disrupt God and God's people. So we know this. He's told us this. We understand this, but we need to make sure we realize this, that there has been, again, I think the last few years, an unhindered moving forward, really, of Satan's agenda in the last days. If you look at what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, we're watching it march forward. And there hasn't been a lot of opposition for the last few years for this particular reason. The world leaders seem to all be in sync. Have you noticed that? When the world leaders get together and they discuss these issues, everyone seems to be like-minded and on the same page. And the last thing the enemy wants to happen is for somebody to step on the scene that could disrupt that move forward and that like-mindedness. And as you know, currently right now, whether or not it's going to remain that way, we don't know. Again, the current front runner for the next president of the leadership of the world, which is really the United States, is someone that in the past has not gone along with all the other world leaders. Now, again, this is not political. This is just a fact. And so wherever you stand on it, that's fine. That's between you and God. The issue is, as the enemy watches this, he's been able to kind of push this whole machine forward. This could throw a cog into the machine. And that means I believe what could happen is some great disruptions in 2024, and you need to be ready. You don't need to freak out if these disruptions happen. You just need to be prepared and recognize it is a spiritual battle. The Lord is in control, but it's still a spiritual battle. Now, as we get into today, I want to break this up into three segments. First of all, a reminder of what the enemy is doing in the last days so we understand what's happening and that God knows about it. God's very aware of what the enemy's doing. God's in control, but God is going to allow the enemy to move forward this one world agenda, if you will, that's going to be broken up into governmental, financial, and technological. And the Bible talks about that, and we'll touch on that as well today. Secondly, though, the main focus that we need to be looking at is what God is doing in the last days. I think a danger we can do as believers is be so focused on what the enemy's doing, we forget that God is working as well, and God is working all things together for his good and for those who love him for our good. So the Lord's the one in control of all that. So we see the two combined working together and realize that God's running the show. And then lastly, we're going to look at some current political events. I mean, prophetic events, not political. Some of them may branch over, but current prophetic events that are to keep an eye on in the coming year. Now, before we jump in, the first thing I want to do is encourage you guys with really a warning. And that is this, the good and bad about having a pastor who keeps you in touch with prophetic things is you stay in touch with prophetic things. That's a good thing. The bad thing is you hear it on a regular enough basis to maybe sometimes kind of go to sleep a little. You want to make sure that you do not go to sleep spiritually when it comes to watching and waiting for the return of the Lord. Again, we don't know the day or the hour. Only the Lord knows that. We talk about living as though the Lord could return today, but planning for 100 years in advance. There's a balance. You don't just like check out. We live and we make plans for the future, but we also are supposed to be watching. And that's a balance that can be hard to keep. And the danger is, again, is that it's a wonderful thing to always be reminded of the return of the Lord. The Bible tells us to do that. But the other side of that danger is, yeah, I've heard that a lot. Again, why are we supposed to be always watching? Because Jesus commanded us to. He said, always be watching. And he said, there is great reward for those who do watch. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced there's going to be a special extra reward for those of you that are watching on a regular basis for the Lord's return. Why do I believe that? Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 40. He said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come serve them. Look, one of the things, whether or not, is this going to be for everybody or just for those watching? The Lord himself is going to serve us if we're watching? Guys, does this blow your mind? Oh, my goodness. And listen to what it says. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch, that means just whenever, we don't know when it's going to be. We're ready at all times. And he finds them so, that is us watching, blessed are those servants. And he's not saying the other servants aren't blessed. There appears to be a special blessing for those that are. He said, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In other words, be ready at any moment. And if you're ready at any moment, even if a thief might break into your house, you'd be watching to catch the thief, right? He says, you need to be watching for me in the same way. You need to think that any moment I could show up. And I want to give another warning here. Listen, I think, and I understand the mindset, a lot of us lock in the return of the Lord, the rapture of the church, into a fall setting around the Feast of Trumpets because that is the feast, I think, unarguably, that represents the return of the Lord. But the danger in that is God doesn't lock it into the fall. And if you lock it into the fall and say, well, it has to be on that feast day because it is a very mysterious thing that the Lord talks about here, then you won't be watching the rest of the year. The Lord could come back at any time, he said. And if we're supposed to be watching and it could only happen in the fall, then what are we watching for? Why are we watching? No, he's saying, look, this is different. I could come at any moment. You need to be ready. And the ones that are ready, then there's going to be a special reward. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many in your own mind and your own heart are thinking right now, yeah, I think the Lord's coming back, but not right now, probably not now, right? Okay, that's great because that means it could, because he said for those at an hour you do not expect. So you just encouraged me greatly. Thank you for that. Because the Lord said, that's the point. When we're going to be thinking, then boom. It's going to be such a shock. it's going to be just like, whoa, it just happened. I can't believe it. And here's the thing. Remember this. Although you hear regularly about it, don't get weary of it, because one of these days it's going to happen. And for those that are saying, you know what, I didn't care, I'd rather believe the Lord's coming back every day until I die and miss and him not come back, than to think, hey, he's not coming back in my lifetime, and never focus on it. Because you're missing the opportunity for the special blessing and reward, and two, just to be obedient to the Lord. So don't stop watching. Make sure you don't grow sleepy about the Lord's return. But the Lord promised that those that are watching will not be taken by surprise. So in some way, if you're watching, God says, I'm going to make sure you know about it. How do I know that? Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. And again, I've got these on the screen for you because we're doing a lot of jumping around. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. He's talking about his return. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes, how again? As a thief in the night. It's going to be a surprise. For when they say peace and safety, there's a clue. Then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. So Jesus talked about how it's going to be like in the last days, a woman in labor pains. And notice this, and they, that is the unbeliever, shall not escape. Shall not escape what? They won't escape the great tribulation. What he's talking about is there's going to be a great tribulation. He's saying those that aren't watching, those that aren't ready, those that aren't prepared for the Lord, they are not going to escape. Well, the implication is those of you, us that are watching, will escape. That is, if you know the Lord, you're going to escape. Again, this to me, speaking of the rapture of the church, he says, they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, somehow you're going to know. It's interesting. Simeon knew when Jesus came to be dedicated after he was born. We talked about it over last week in the Christmas celebration. When he came and Simeon took him in his arms and began to pronounce this blessing over him, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit had told Simeon he would not die until he saw the Christ. And he saw the Christ before he died. And I believe that God is going to do the same thing. I think for those of you that are watching, for those of us that are watching, we may not know the day or the hour, but we're going to know, you know what? Hey, guys, this is about to happen here. There's going to be something that tips us off. And I think there's going to be others that aren't watching. They're not going to know it. And I think it's because of the scripture that makes me believe that. He said, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So that's how we're to be watching, be sober, be waiting on the Lord. The point is, we must not get spiritually lazy and stop watching because we've been reminded or warned so much. And here's the danger of that. Again, I said, the Bible says there's going to be those that become weary of hearing about the Lord's return, so much so they begin to mock. And listen to what it says in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Man, my grandmother used to talk about that. My parents did. Everybody talked about the Lord coming back. If he's coming back, well, he's not coming back in my lifetime probably. Is at this kind of, hey, he's coming at an hour you don't expect. And so we need to be on our toes and be ready. So with that warning and that foundation, let's begin looking at our main topics today. And number one, starting with what is Satan currently doing in the world so we recognize the work of the enemy. And I do believe it's important that we know enough about what the enemy is doing that God tells us so we can be prepared and understand it. Because if not, we're not going to have a proper view of what's going to be happening in 2024 or beyond. We have to recognize the enemies at work and have that prophetic perspective in place. And the first thing we need to realize, and I think this kind of sums it up, if I could put this in one big package, you have to recognize that Satan desires to rule over the entire world. If you ask me to sum up the whole package with all the different prophetic things that fall under that, if you understand that, that's going to be a huge foundation and beginning for you. What you're watching in the world is Satan trying to corral the entire world into one mindset, unity, one government, one finance system, one everything, so that once that's in place, he can take over and be the king of the world. The Bible says Jesus is the king of the world. Satan wants to take Jesus's place. Antichrist, he'll work through the Antichrist. Anti means instead of. So the instead of Christ, Satan will be working through him. And at some point, Satan will possess him, the Bible says, and himself be living in that man's body and ruling over the entire world as the king of the world. Although God promised it to his son, he said, the government will be on your shoulder. Again, another Christmas verse we had from last week. Satan says, no, I want the government on my shoulder. So what you're watching is for world governments, world leaders to all work together in harmony. That's why I said this upcoming election is a nightmare to many of them. Because everybody knows that there's no way, if President Trump gets back into the mix, and we don't know if he will or not, wherever you stand on that, again, that's not the issue, but if he gets back into the mix, it is not going to be business as usual in America or the world leaders. And this is something that the enemy wants to try to stop with everything he can. Again, not because it's political, but because there is a spiritual agenda for him to take over the world, and he doesn't want anybody in his way. And eventually, nobody will be in his way. He'll remove everyone out of the way and not allow this to happen. But again, he's going to be ruling and reigning through this Antichrist. And he's going to be working on getting the world together in this, as we said, through three main ways for you to be watching in the upcoming year: government, finances, and digital technology, which again will eventually lead to the mark of the beast. Now, governmentally, again, you're going to see the worlds coming together. The Bible talks about either these 10 kings over 10 regions of the world. Some of that's going to be broken up in some way. And how that's going to fall into place, we've seen how quickly things can change overnight. We don't know how quickly they will, but things change quickly overnight, as we've all witnessed. Somehow something's going to happen to break the earth up into 10 regions with 10 kings or 10 leaders over those regions. And they're going to be the ones that hand their power to this Antichrist once they're in place and once they're in power. Again, it's interesting. You see what's happening on our southern border. You think, wow, look at what's happening. All the borders just open and all these millions of people coming in. And yes, there is a concern on a human level, and certainly politics gets involved in that. But guys, when I saw this happen in Europe a few years ago, I knew immediately what's going on. Daniel chapter 2. What are you talking about, Daniel chapter 2? The Bible says that all the barriers of the world are going to be broken down. Note this. Everything that God puts in place, Satan's desire is to remove. God just doesn't always allow him to. But if God allows him to, he can do it. The Bible says God put the borders for the nations in place. God chose those borders. So what do you think Satan's going to do? Oh, yeah? I'm breaking those borders down. And the Bible says God will allow him to do that worldwide in the last days. It speaks of it again in Daniel as well as in Revelation. And so what that means is, when I saw Europe, it happened there first. Why did it happen first in Europe? Because they're weaker spiritually than America. We're not super strong right now, but we have more light in America. We stand more on the word in America. We understand, so God helps us and honors America more than other places, even though we're getting away from that, as you know. And so what happened was, Satan would go to the weakest area first. He hit Europe, and there was a massive immigration flooding. You remember seeing it in the news, just they couldn't stop. It was overwhelming. And I remember going, it's coming here. It's going to happen. It's going to be overwhelming. You're going to see hordes and hordes, tens of thousands coming. At that time, that wasn't happening. It's not because I'm a prophet, because I know that Satan is going to break down the borders of the world. It's going to break down the borders of nations. We are in that process. It is taking place. Again, I'll let all the politicians fight how they're going to deal with that in the future. That's their job. My job is to let you know what's going on from God's perspective. And that's what's happening. I'm telling you, there's other reasons for it, but that's really what's going on. That's just a part of this. And you're going to see the governments come together to work. It's one world, one person, no borders, no cultures, no this, no that. And they'll still be allowing certain cultures and all that, but it's going to be this blending together as one. That's the ultimate goal, because that's what's needed for Satan to rule over all in one fell swoop. Another thing you're going to see is finances. Again, they're already talking about this, the digital coins, and not digital coins, that's more an investment, but the financial digital money, converting everything over to digital money. They're talking about doing that for a number of reasons. It looks like something that on the surface could be used in great ways to monitor all the income or to be able to monitor how monies are used and be accurate, but it's going to be used to control people as well. And it's a system that's going to be put in place. Again, remember, when it comes to connecting it to the mark of the beast, the Bible says you won't be able to buy or sell without that mark. So the digital system is going to be key to coming into play at some point. And I believe you can see that being pushed in a much greater way in 2024, because you're already hearing the rumblings about it. And the sooner it happens, the more control they have over the finances and the more control, again, that the enemy will have, again, as he begins to try to take over the world. The last one, again, this kind of ties into it, is digital technology. And again, we're going to be seeing a lot of that tied in with the mark of the beast, because that's how you can link everybody together. And some of the stuff going on right now in digital technology is shocking and amazing. They're talking about connecting us all together to the internet and to each other eventually. And they're talking about taking, you know, we all have certain amounts of metals in our body or whatever. They're talking about the metals that are currently in our body to be able to use them conducively to transfer signals and all this to connect it to the internet, which no doubt will be completed probably through the mark of the beast. Which again, I believe will be gone before the mark of the beast, as the church will be out of here. But when everybody has to take that mark, it's going to connect everybody. And they're saying you'll not only be connected to the internet, but it's going to be like people are going to be connected to each other. I mean, some of the things they're talking about are pretty amazingly cool in one way and freaky in another way that I want nothing to do with. When you think about the technology, they're talking about being able just to talk to somebody across the room, you know, just because you're connected. Boom, you just talk to them. It's like things that can only be done in the spirit realm typically, but are now moving to the natural realm. Now, this is key as well, because remember, he wants to be God. That is Satan. He wants to be like God. God knows what everybody's thinking right now in this room, okay? God knows that some of you are thinking, wow, this is great. Some are going, this guy's a nut. I mean, God knows everything going on right now in your mind, right? He knows that. He also knows everything. He knows where you are. He knows everything you're doing. He knows everything about you because he's God. He's able to do that. And although he knows everything and controls everything, he still gives you freedom to live your life. Well, Satan's the opposite. Remember, Jesus came to give life, right? And more abundantly. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He can't do the omniscient thing. He can't do the omnipotent thing. He can't know what everybody's thinking and what everybody's doing. He can't know all that. He's one being in one place at one time. He can have his demons watch and report back, but he's not like God. So he needs to become as much like God as he can with his limitations to be like God. And that is somehow he has to know what's going on in everybody's heart and mind the best he can. And it's going to be through digital technology. This is all going to be something connected so that he can monitor mankind and control mankind the best he can as a God with a small g as compared to the true God of heaven. And so, so he's going to be, again, forming all these things to bring us together in unity. And so be watching for those three. Now, when you're looking prophetically, you want to be looking for things that bring the world together as one. And this is where we have to step outside of politics or sometimes even personal opinion. Because it's not really the issue as much as it is, what is the issue doing worldwide? I'll throw one out at you that's being used, I think, by the enemy in probably the largest way right now, although digital technology is going to be used that way as well, and that's climate change, climate issues. Why? Whether you believe that or not believe it, or you have this concern or not, that's not the point. Satan doesn't care about our climate. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he wants everyone dead. That's his desire. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's, can that agenda be used to unite the entire world together, not just governmentally, not just financially, but in mindset? Remember, you've got to have people thinking the same way in order to bring them as one and then to have control over them. Again, think about this. What better way to unite the world as one than to convince everybody that if we don't all work together to save the planet, we're all going to die? And that's a motivator, right? It's like it doesn't matter what your politics are if you're dead. It doesn't matter what you like or who you agree with or don't agree with if you're dead. So guys, come on. We've got to all work together. We're in this together. We've got to pull together and save the planet. We've got to do all these things. And so again, it's not the issue whether it's real or fake. It's an ingenious plan because he knows that it will bring mankind together if they don't understand scripture in that sense. Not that we should be divided, but together in this unity to forward his plan. But it also, he knows how God, or rather how God has created man and how man naturally responds. And that is, guys, listen, here's what the Bible says. And we're about to read it in Romans. That's why I had you turn there. We really are going to read Romans together. But this is what the Bible says, and this is what we've seen throughout world history. God created mankind to worship. You're going to worship something. And if you're here this morning and say, well, you're not a believer and I don't worship anything, I just came because it's the holidays, my family invited me, that's whatever. Let me ask you this. Do you have a master passion that you really go for with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Maybe it's a hobby, maybe whatever it is. That all worship means is it's worth. Worship comes from the word worth. It's worthy of all my time and attention. You've got something that you're putting all your worth in. And by biblical definition, you're worshiping that. It may not be bowing down. It may not be singing songs to your golf club. But you're doing something, right? Okay? Or throwing it like I used to do. But either way. So the bottom line is, though, there's something you worship. That means that once God is out of the way, you are naturally going to gravitate to something else. And here's what God's word says we gravitate to. When mankind turns away from God, we naturally gravitate to the worship of the environment. It has been throughout history. The gods of the past, go look them up. People worship water, trees, sky, the earth. And it's described in Romans chapter 1. Listen to what it says in Romans 1 verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, God reveals to everybody that he's real. Some just reject it. For since the creation of the world, his, that is God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So creation shouts God, he's saying. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. On Judgment Day, they're going to have no excuse because God revealed it even by nature. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, and they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Here goes the creation. Birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped, notice this, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. When man turns away from God, man runs to the environment. It has been throughout history. We're seeing it happen all over again. And like I said, the issue is not whether something is real or fake, and the arguments can go on forever. That's not the issue. The issue is it is being used by the enemy to bring mankind together because he knows how man's nature is. Satan has lived for thousands of years. We have one generation. We have to figure it out. In like 60, 70, 80, 90 years, we got to figure it out and we're done. He's been living thousands of years. He knows the word of God. He knows how man operates. He starts with every new generation saying, how are we going to get the world to unite? Well, what do they do naturally without God? They're falling away from God. What do? Let's get them into nature. Let's get them in the environment. Let's tell them the world's going to blow up. Let's get them all worried. Let's get them to all work together. They won't even see what I'm doing. They won't even recognize my hand at work because I'll have them so focused on things that just don't matter because God's in control. See, here's the thing that gets me. What greater insult, think about this with Satan, what greater insult could Satan give God than to suggest that although he created the earth, he's unable to maintain it? You made the earth, God. You can't maintain it. You're not able to keep the water clean. You can't make the air right. You can't do this. You're too weak. You're too weak of a God to maintain your own creation. Oh, I got an idea, God. Why don't let mankind help you? Mankind will rescue God. How about that? Instead of you being their savior, they'll be yours. What an insult to God. And see, that is a huge insult because he knows that God maintains everything. He knows that God's the one that's running the show. And yet he does that and uses mankind kind of like in God's face. I think that's what's happening. Not just to insult God, but to unify mankind. There's a double thing going on here with this whole environmental movement. Notice what it says in Colossians 1:16-17, speaking of Jesus, about this whole, the creation issue. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, that is through Jesus, and for him. And here it is, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The word consist is huge here. What the word consist means is all things are held together or maintained by Jesus Christ. And so what Satan is saying through the environmental movement is no, all things are not held together and maintained by you. You have failed. And now man's coming to the rescue and man's gonna bail you out. Man's gonna help you because you need all that help. Sorry you couldn't do it, Lord. I'll show up and I'm gonna show the world how it can really be done. I'm gonna take your place. I'm gonna be the anti, the instead of Christ, and I'm gonna run the show. And he's gonna use this to deceive the world in believing that he is this one that can come and solve all the problems. And again, that God can't maintain, but indeed the Bible says that God can and will maintain. And by the way, the environment will be destroyed. The Bible clearly tells us that, but it's not man that does it. The Bible says God destroys the environment during the Great Tribulation. Whoa, is that a wrench in that mindset or what? Why would God be the one that comes back and destroys the environment? Here's why. Remember the children of Israel were in Egypt. They were worshiping all these nature things, right? They were worshiping the gods of Egypt. Each one of those judgments, if you go back and study those judgments, each one of them was against a god of Egypt. God judged and destroyed the gods of Egypt. What's our God today? You're going to see finances get destroyed. You're going to see the environment get destroyed because we're making the environment our God and putting it before God. But here's the good news. Okay, this is good news. You'll be gone before that happens. That's number one. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that if you're a believer. Number two, the Bible says when Jesus comes back after he destroys the environment, he's going to completely restore the environment. He's going to make the earth green all over again. He's going to make the oceans crystal clear and clean, the air crystal clear and clean. It's going to be the way it was at creation at the beginning, and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to get to live here for 1,000 years in the middle of it, and then it really gets good because he makes a new heaven and a new earth that will all be in there together forever. That's good news. And that's your future. That's your future. So don't let the enemy bring you down and worry about it. You know, again, I think about the whole ecosystem thing, and I'm watching. Here's the thing. The Bible says that if the Lord didn't come back and rescue us, all flesh, no flesh would be saved. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But I think this whole eco thing could even be one of them, because when you look and start messing with God's delicate ecosystem, guys, if you were to move the moon, which we can't do, but if the moon moved a foot either way, it'd pull the oceans out where they're not supposed to be. If you went a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. If you came back a little bit from the sun, we'd freeze to death. And so there's this delicate balance that God has given to us all. Yes, yet they're actually making plans, we've talked about this before, to block the sun in order to save the planet. Now let's think about this. You want to block the sun in order to save the planet. There's an article here from Popular Mechanics, 60 scientists trying to block the sun, right? And there's others that are, there's all kinds of different ways they're talking about, releasing chemicals in the air, doing this, doing that. The one that I read this week, there apparently is a gravitational spot, a sweet spot between us and the sun, that if you take something out there, you can park it and the gravity will hold it right in place, okay? If you get either way, it'll be pulled and it'll move, but if you put it right in that gravitational spot. They want to send up a giant shield, okay, by rockets and release it and block the sun from the earth, okay? Now, here's the thing that killed me about the article. I kid you not, I'm reading the article and you're going to block the sun from the earth. What do you think that's going to do? It says, this is a plan to save the planet. However, we don't really know what the consequences of such a move would be. I mean, and you're the smart guys? Oh my goodness. I'm like, I don't think I trust you for anything. This is nuts. God is more than able to hold his creation together. God is doing it right now. God will do it until he finishes his plans. When he's done with this environment, he will destroy it, and he's going to create a brand new one. So we rest and trust in the Lord. And again, we're good stewards. I get all that. But at the same time, we don't need to freak out or worry about this stuff. I'm glad that God's going to intervene and not let all this stuff happen that they're trying to make happen. Now, again, as we said, remember also something to watch for where the enemy's working is getting us toward that mark of the beast. So it's not going to be overnight, hey, everybody take a chip. I think it's going to be kind of a gradual thing. And again, I think it was attempted earlier through the vaccine passports, because that's a digital system that would have digitized everyone in the world. You might think that's over with. That's not over with. They're still pushing the digital passports and working hard to see how the system works in other places. As a matter of fact, there's a big push right now in Africa trying to implement the digital passports to get everybody digitized so they can keep up with everybody for health reasons, if you will. Again, it's of course, they're going to put it under that guise. That makes sense. But listen to this headline from The Blaze. It says, Bill Gates and MasterCard are testing vaccine passports in Africa. Is U.S. next? I trust Bill Gates and MasterCard, so I don't see what the concern is here. But they're saying, is the U.S. next, right? The answer is yes. Now, why would it start over there? The same reason the immigration problem started in Europe before it came here. Satan is, this is much higher than mankind. He's picking areas that he can get in, getting it started, and then it kind of goes from there like a prairie fire. And so there's very wise battle going on. He's not stupid. He's very wise. But we need to be aware of his plans, not blinded by them, if you will. But again, this is something we're going to see more of, the vaccine passports. And again, it's something that's going to be leading into, again, this technology that will link us up with the mark of the beast, where you can't buy and you can't sell unless you have that, unless you're linked into this internet system where they can monitor what you're doing and how you're doing it. Now, enough about the enemy. What is God doing? And this is what we always have to remember. Yes, we can see what the enemy's doing, but we can't get bogged down in focusing on the enemy. Let's look at what God is doing and get excited about our Lord, because he's the one that's in control. There are many different things we can look at in relation to prophetic events, but I picked out some of the most prominent ones that I think may be really coming to the forefront in 2024. And one of them really started in 2023 and has bled into 2024, which is huge, and that is what's going on with Israel. Guys, remember, Israel is God's time clock. Everything revolves around Israel. If you want to know what's happening prophetically, look at Israel and find out what's going on in Israel. You get this prophetic heartbeat of what's happening because God revolves everything around them, bringing them back in the last days, reviving them in the last days, pouring out his spirit on them in the last days, doing a work, having the whole world turn against them in the last days. God didn't cause that, but God allows it to happen. And that's exactly what Satan is going to be doing. The closer we get to the second coming, we're going to see a greater and greater worldwide, remember, this is not something local, this is demonic worldwide, a worldwide hatred of the Jews. Has anybody noticed that taking place? Again, listen to what it says in Matthew 24:9, speaking about the Jews in the last days. Jesus said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. It doesn't mean they'll actually know him yet, although there'll be many that will be getting saved, and that will apply when they get saved. But even the fact that they are God's people, that God chose them, people say, why did God choose the nation of Israel? It's because of Abraham. It wasn't because of them, not because they did good or whatever. It's Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham. God's keeping his promise of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. And so that's why God's keeping his promises to the nation of Israel, is his covenant and his faithfulness to Abraham. And so when you see what's happening to the Jewish people today, guys, really it's illogical and it boggles the mind. It's just illogical. Why does everybody hate them? There are people that hate the Jews that don't even know why they hate them. It is a spiritual battle. How many people do you know would have a group of people, a nation, where over 200 of their people are taken hostage, and around the world when people put signs up for people to be praying for them or are speaking out for them, they tear the signs down? I mean, think about the level of hatred it takes. I don't care how bad your enemy is. You want to see them remain kidnapped and get abused and won't even let anybody be reminded of it? This is beyond normal human condition. This is spiritual. This is something the enemy is doing. And why is he doing it? Well, the same reason he's done it throughout history. God's eternal promises for the nation of Israel, and Satan hates it. And he will fight against it with everything he has at every turn. And now it's not only overseas. Again, remember, it's in America. It used to just be overseas. You saw this kind of stuff happen in rare pockets. But it's almost like when this war broke out, that God, the restrainer, released a little bit more to the enemy to do more, and all of a sudden it just went worldwide like wildfire. Hate the Jews, destroy the Jews, kill the Jews. Everything's the Jews' fault, right? They can't even defend themselves. And so you have this whole thing that takes off. So something demonic happened in this battle. Whether or not God's going to keep allowing it to happen, we'll have to wait and see. But it's not just overseas where you'd see it in certain pockets. It's overseas everywhere, and it's even in our nation. Israel's main friend and ally historically, we've always stood with Israel. We've never had anti-Israel events across the nation. There have been little pockets and little groups, but not nationwide like we see today, and not happening nationwide. Listen to some of these articles. I pulled some recent articles from the last week, so you would see this stuff is current to today. This is from the Times of Israel. U.S. anti-Semitism up 337% since October 7th in an all-time record. This from the Security Network. 199 threats against Jewish institutions in just 24 hours. And listen to this one. This is from Newsmax. 51% of young Americans believe Israel should be ended. Guys, you're talking about our next generation is saying there should be no Israel. Who decides, you know, there should be no more America. There should be no more Iran. There should be no more Britain. There should be no more Yugoslavia. There should be no more whatever, right? Who decides that? Why would anyone be motivated to say that nation should just disappear? This is not normal. This is when you know it's spiritual. It is demonic. It is above normal human logic. And it's an evil that surpasses even what men would normally do. And so there's this hatred that's growing. But remember, the Bible said as we get toward the last days, God's going to allow this hatred to grow. So the Jews will, number one, be cornered and have to cry out to God because God's going to pour out his spirit and save them. But also to drive them back to their homeland. Now, since World War II, they've been going back, but they're not all going back. Some of them are very comfortable with their businesses and their nice homes in America, in Europe, all over. I believe God's going to start allowing the pressure to get so hard on the Jewish people. And you're going to see it ratchet up more in 2024, especially during this war. And if it spreads to Lebanon and Hezbollah and all that, you're going to see more and more pressure to where they're going to feel like, you know what, I got to get out of here. I don't even feel safe here anymore. And I'm already hearing that. Jews saying, I don't feel safe in the town I've grown up in. I don't feel safe in the area. These students on campuses, we don't feel safe on our campus anymore. I mean, at colleges in America, not to mention the ones overseas. But listen, this is predicted. The culmination will be on the attack of Israel at Armageddon. So notice it talks about that culmination in Zechariah 12, verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. That is, they're a problem for everyone. Has anybody noticed that? When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. That is, they're going to want to get rid of it, pick it up, just get rid of this. We don't want it anymore. Like those kids just said in that poll or whatever, and just heave them away. The problem is you can't throw Israel away because Israel's too heavy of a rock. And the reason is their rock is Jesus Christ. He's our rock and he's working in them. He's made the promises. He's going to keep those promises. They won't be able to heave them away. He says, all who would heave it away, that is those who want to destroy the nation of Israel and destroy the Jews, here's what it says will happen to them. They will surely be cut in pieces. Not a good future for those who are fighting with the Jews and Israel. He says, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Eventually, every nation will turn against the nation of Israel, even America. And so again, remember, guys, we are just, a few elections away in certain places to where the nation turns as a whole. And that God could either let that go or God can put the brakes on. We don't know what he's going to do. I think 2024 is going to be very telling as to how we're moving forward in this progression toward the Antichrist and taking the world over, or whether God's going to say, no, it's not time. Let's slow things down. With Hitler, Satan tried. He tried. It wasn't about Hitler. I know he's got his own judgment, but it was much larger than Hitler. It was Satan trying to take over the world. He was trying to destroy the Jews and take over the world, and that's what his desire was. It wasn't time. So God slammed on the brakes. God stopped him from what he was doing, and now we've had these last, 80 years or whatever since then, 70 to 80 years. It's happening again. The enemy's on the move. He's trying, is God going to shut it down, or is God going to allow it to move forward? It doesn't matter what name you use of who's being used, just fill in the blank. It's the enemy that's doing this. He's just using mankind as his pawns. And so you're going to continue to see this rise until God brings them back and pours out his spirit on his people to drive them back into the land. Now, he talks about, driving them back for those who are the holdouts, those who don't want to come back yet. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. He says, fear not, for I'm with you, speaking to the nation of Israel. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And so God is going to be forcing them back again through this pressure. Listen to this article here out of the Jerusalem Post about Britain. Look at this. Nearly half of UK Jews considered leaving after, this is recent, considered leaving due to anti-Semitism because of what's happening right now. I mean, that's over half of the Jews. They're going, you know what? We may just, let's just leave our home. Imagine just, look, I can't think of anybody that would want to really just leave their home overnight except for California. And you know what? We love you and we're glad you're here. Love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. You guys are a blessing. And I say that as, as far as leaving California, I'm not picking on California. My point is, a silly joke, but my point is, look, what would make you want to just pull up and move? There has to be enough pressure. And again, the pressure was a part of a lot of people leaving California, but and other places as well. But the pressure is now increasing on the Jews this way to where they can't go anywhere. They can't run to Tennessee and find a friend. Okay? They can't. They run to the other part of town. People hate them there. They go to the next nation. People hate them there. They come to safe America. People are marching in the streets of America. Where can we go? We're going back home. At least we're in a place where people love us and we're the same kind of people. We'll protect each other. God's going to use this. He's going to use it to bring them back because he's getting ready to pour his spirit out on them. And we're going to see more of this in 2024. Another thing we're going to see, and I've got to move quickly here, is you're going to see more and more talk about a two-state solution. The Jews and Palestine side by side. And again, this is, again, neither side wants this. They're saying you need to have a Jewish state and then create a Palestinian state. And there they are side by side. It's interesting when you hear them talk because neither side wants this. The Hamas and Palestinians don't want it because they don't want any Jews in the land. They want them wiped out. They want them gone, right? That's the whole river to the sea chant. It means kill all the Jews. Kick them out of the land and kill them, right? Well, the Jews don't want it either because they don't want another October 7th. How would you like it if your neighbors came in and raped and killed all your women and children? Right, and burned your kids alive and did all these atrocities that we know happened. How would you like it if they said, you know what, let's just forgive them, let them live next to you guys, and y'all guys just be neighbors? What we said, what? What are you talking about? So Hamas in Palestine doesn't want to be a neighbor because they want to wipe out the Jews. The Jews are saying, I don't want that guy living next to me. You see what he did to my wife and my children? So now we have a problem. Now we have the world saying, this needs to happen so we can all get along, and neither of them want to do it. This is where this charismatic guy is going to get in, the guy that's going to show up with Riz. The kids know what I'm talking about. He's going to show up and just, blow everybody away with his just charisma and his ability to handle everything and do all of his stuff that he's going to do, right? And then the world's going to say, he's going to have the answers. He's going to have the solution. And I believe the way he's going to solve it is it's going to have a lot to do with the third temple. You can have your third temple. You can have your temple mount. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. And there's going to be this exchange. Why do I believe it's going to happen? Because Daniel 9 says he's going to come on the scene and broker a deal. And he's going to broker this deal between Israel and all their neighbors. I think that's going to be part of it. And also, God says he's going to judge those people that divided his land, which means it's going to happen. Now, he may be talking about the dividing that already took place, such as the West Bank and all that, but he may also be talking about what's going to happen in the last days. Listen to what it says in Joel 3, 1 through 3. It says this, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the valley that circles right there, Jerusalem. It's right there in the city of Jerusalem. and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided my land. So God says, that's my land. I gave it to Abraham and his descendants because I chose to. I can give it to who I want. I own it. You guys are dividing it up. You have no right to divide my land. It'd be like somebody showing up on your property. You know, say you got 10 acres somewhere. They show, well, we're going to give this 3 to those guys and that 5. What are you, get off my land. What are you doing? Well, I'm just going to divide it up. There'd be a problem, wouldn't there? Right? That's what they're doing to God. God says, this is my land. I set the borders. I set the boundaries. I say who can live there and who can't. Now, you're coming in and trying to divide this up. So there's going to be a day of reckoning. And again, I think it's going to be part of this whole negotiating of the third temple. So again, I had more I want to cover, but I'm going to skip a little bit. Listen, this is a lot of what we do on Signs of the Times every Friday from 1:30 to 2:30. If you're not listening and you like this kind of thing, jump in and join us there. But I want to finish this today. Guys, I want you to notice this. Listen, again, the Bible says, or the Lord said this. He said, look, I want you not to worry, because as we finish today, we have to keep the main thing the main thing. And that is, God is in control and God's on the throne. That's the main thing we have to worry about. Remember, while the earth is being prepared by the enemy, which we see right around us because that's the realm we see in, God is preparing heaven for his bride. Listen to what it says in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what he's saying is, look, the earth might be being prepared right now as he allows the enemy to move forward and get it ready for this one world leader, bringing everything together by all the things we talked about today. But he says, it's for you, for my flock, for my sheep, for my bride. You know what's happening in heaven right now? I'm preparing a place, and I'm preparing a table, and it's the wedding supper of the Lamb. And the question is, do you have a placemat at that table? Do you have a name tag on a plate? Not that there's literally going to be name tags on the plate, but you get what I'm saying. Do you have your reservations? Do you have your spot in the kingdom of God? For those of you that know the Lord, rejoice. You have a great future. God's in control of 2024 and every year after that. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to be our protector and our provider, and we're going to trust him through the middle of it because we were born for such a time as this. And he chose us for this generation. Let's not blow it. This is the generation he chose. He knows what he's doing. He's given you everything you need to be able to go through it with boldness and confidence and be an overcomer if you depend on him. So our eyes get fixed on the Lord, and we get excited about serving him in the days in which we live. But if you don't know the Lord, you shouldn't walk out of this room without making that commitment. Because again, we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when all these things are going to take place. You don't know. Look, it might be a first service. We had an accident. Nobody in our fellowship was in the accident, which is good. But of course, the person had an accident. They were fine. But there was an accident right out here outside of our property, just right up, you know, outside of the road that kind of held things up in the first service. And glad to say that everybody's okay. But it's a reminder. We never know when that car is going to be for us. We never know when there's going to be that T-bone. There's going to be that, you know, that accident, that whatever. And that is this. Make sure you're ready. Jesus loves you. What a great time to give your life to the Lord, to start a new year as a believer in the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we finish this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you again for the hope we have as believers in you and the promise of the future that we have. We don't need to be afraid. We know that you're in control of all things, and you've told us so much to give us confidence and rest. And so we rejoice in you and in what you're going to be doing in 2024. We know the enemy's going to be moving, but Lord, you're moving as well. And you're the one that has all the winning pieces. You're going to put everything in place that needs to be to give us the victory that's been promised. But God, I pray for those this morning that don't know you. If there's anyone here and they've never made that real commitment, they've never given their life to you, and this morning they've been pierced in their heart by your Holy Spirit. God, it's not anything I could do or say. It's your Holy Spirit. But I ask God you would help their heart now to be softened and release and just let go. For whatever reason they've been resisting, they would just let go now and give their heart and their life to you. And if that's you this morning, you simply need to do this. You need to tell the Lord, I confess to you that I am guilty before your throne. I am a sinner. Confess it to the Lord. It takes humility. Confess it to him. Say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins based on what you did on the cross through your blood. Again, the Bible says his blood takes your sin away. So let him know you trust in his blood for your sin to be gone. And then tell him, Lord, I give my life to you and I choose to follow you from this point on. The Bible says if you do that, you will be saved and you'll have your place at the table that God is currently preparing for his bride, which I believe we're going to be at very soon. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. I pray you pour out your spirit on your people. Lord, just overwhelm them now with your goodness and your joy heading into 2024, and let them be a rejoicing people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.